800-823-8255. Good morning. I'm Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy, talking about yarding on the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And guess who's back?
What's this thing in front of me?
Yeah, really?
It's like I don't even know how to use it.
Two weekends off. Turn it around.
Okay.
Take your mask off.
Sure.
So did you enjoy the last 2 weekends not having to come into the studios?
It was great having to wake up an hour later than usual.
You were awful. You were taking long weekends.
Yes.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes. Here we got use it or lose it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to lose it.
Absolutely.
So sadly, I know I have to use it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's
what it's for.
Some things I have to, I got to take it off.
Yeah. So you got 3 days off.
So I got a couple days off. It's great. Enjoyed
good.
It. Got to sleep in until about 7 o'clock in the morning.
Now, are you able to do that?
Heck yeah.
Okay. Because, you get up during the week, every night, every morning at?
Very early.
Yeah.
We'll just say I'm breaking curfew.
Yeah. So you can just shut that off?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing it for so long, my body knows.
Okay.
My body knows it's the weekend.
All right.
It's sleeping.
Not only knows to get up during the week
at
a very early time,
right.
But it knows that it's when it's time to sleep in.
It does.
I've trained myself. Good for you.
So I enjoyed it. I was able to wake up at 7. It was great.
Good. Then what? Went downstairs, had something to eat.
Then I had a cup of coffee.
Took a nap.
Had a cup of coffee, took a nap.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, yeah, it was fun. I'm sure no one missed me.
We all missed you.
Sure.
It's the cup of Joe. It's a
cup
usual
of, cup
thing
of Joe.
Going on.
That means I have a lot to talk about, right?
I would think you're probably going to talk right to
about
8 o'clock.
So we're going to start with we put up the Christmas trees.
I don't want to hear it.
So you should already know the answer to that.
Yep.
The Christmas trees are up and going.
Pull them out of a box and plug them in.
Heck yeah. It took half an hour, maybe, mm-hmm. at the most.
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas trees are up. Christmas decorations are
Sunday
up.
We
were really early this year. We took advantage of the warm weather.
Yeah.
So the Christmas stuff is up.
Outside?
Outside, too.
Oh. Haven't done that.
You haven't done that?
No.
I
wait till it's sleeting and snowing. And
wow.
There's something about that, just.
Oh, yeah, it's something about that. Yeah, about once it was dying on a ladder, and it's great.
Yeah.
So I had to break down and go back to the gas station and get a gallon of gas because our lawn started to pop up again. So.
Yeah, with the warm weather.
So I did that, and I ended up mowing the lawn because, I was off.
Mulching those leaves back.
And mulched the leaves back into the yard.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, are you going to fire up the snow thrower just to make sure it's working?
When I finally put gas in it, because I drained it last year, so.
Oh, okay. But it did have gas.
It did have gas in it,
okay.
Yes. Yes. So.
So you'll be ready to take care of
it. I'll be ready to rock. So, I have enough gas to put in that thing. Yeah. So, I'll be ready to go to the neighbor's yard in case we get anything.
By the way, you know what I forgot to do?
What did you forget to do? Turn your microphone on?
No. Oh. Let's talk to Joe Strecker, our executive producer. Take care of our website at ronwilsononline.com, Facebook page.
If they don't know by
Ron Wilson.
If they don't know by now, then sorry. They don't know. They're not listening.
Who is he talking to?
Well, who's this guy?
Who is that guy?
So,
can you believe that we are the Saturday before Thanksgiving?
I know.
Crazy. As we were saying 2 months ago, it's going to happen in flashes. It always does. And here we are.
And next thing you know, we'll be sitting here. God, I can't believe it's almost Christmas.
Talking about Christmas, and then what are you going to do for New Year's? And
exactly.
Then we back into it again.
Well, I already know what I'm doing for New Year's.
I know what I'm doing for New Year's.
I'm going to be sleeping.
Same thing you're doing.
Same thing every year. Sleep. And then watch Ohio State.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Heck yeah. Got to stay positive.
You got a long way to go yet.
Got to stay positive.
A lot of games to go.
Got to stay positive. Come on.
People keep getting sick.
Don't make me tell. Don't
people
make
keep
me,
getting sick.
Don't make me tell Urban.
What?
He'll take your card away.
Nah. I mean, the Maryland thing last week.
Yeah, that was Maryland's
three
fault.
Players. They could have played.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
You're football players.
You want to ruin the recruiting status.
Right.
Come on.
It was just a joke. Don't email Ron. We get it. We're just joking around.
We were.
Oh, wow. Because you know what's going to happen. Someone's going to take that the wrong way, and next thing you know, you're going to get an email.
Yeah.
Oh, how can you say that? Blah, blah, blah. It was a joke.
Yep.
Move on. So.
So your family skirted the COVID thing so far?
So far, so good. Knock on knock on wood.
And a cousin's husband that got it. I think we've had two distant relatives have gotten it, and that's it so far.
Yeah. Yeah, so luckily we haven't had it. No. Luckily we've avoided it. So knock on wood.
Don't want to get it.
Exactly.
So what's your plans for Thanksgiving?
Plans for Thanksgiving is we're going to have
be with your parents.
We're going to have a small one. Mm-hmm. Since my sister lives up north and the restrictions on driving. So we decided to just have a small one this year and, you know, just a nice little private little thing. Just kind of chill out and relax.
Good.
And, you know.
Good.
Do it a little more intimate this year.
Good. And your parents live with you, so, you know, it's nice having them there.
So, we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to have the Thanksgiving police knock on our door, so we're going to have less than 10.
There you go.
But that's not by mandate. That's because,
that's what you're
my
doing.
Sister's not coming this year.
What you're doing, I
guess. So, yeah. So, good. Yeah, that's what we're doing. What are you guys doing?
We're not sure yet. I think it's going to be Carol and me and the dog.
Okay.
I think everybody's decided they're going to stay home, so.
No. It ain't bad either.
No. So I think that's what we're
going to do. I mean, that entire dish of White Castle stuffings for you.
White Castle stuffing.
We'll get to that in a second.
Ooh.
So on this final day before, show before Thanksgiving
show, which won't happen like we normally have it happen.
Right. Yeah.
Hopefully. In fact, you're going to be off next Saturday.
Right.
Again. So.
Yeah.
Just be Dan and me in here.
Yeah. And some turkey.
Just the two of us.
And some leftovers.
Getting our way through Thanksgiving Saturday.
Yeah. Sorry.
We'll still talk to Joe and Rita.
Good.
We're going to get them on the phone, talk to them. Can't do it without talking to them.
Good. So what's on tap for today's show?
We've had so many guests over the last two or three weeks. You know, it's one of those shows we decided to just have one guest. We're going to talk about a new book that's out there just in time for the winter season as everybody's bringing in houseplants and doing everything. It's called The Houseplant Party with Lisa Steinkopf. And Lisa's going to talk to you about taking care of plants but having fun with them.
Cool.
All kinds of great projects for indoor plants. So
nice.
Great book. So we'll talk with her. And otherwise, you and me talking yardening in between.
Cool. Very
Lots
cool.
Lots of tips to share.
Very cool.
Put my pitch out there about buying a live Christmas tree, Joe mm-hmm. Stricker.
You can go ahead and do that.
How many times have you heard that?
Let's see. How long have we been doing the show? Since 2001?
So you've been hearing that for a long time.
Actually, no. Wait a minute.
If you still have...
Wait a minute. 2002. Not 2001, 2002.
And you still have two artificial trees.
Mm-hmm. Actually, four, because we've got two little ones on
Oh,
front.
Oh. We could have had one of those to be a live tree.
We could have.
Just to make me happy.
Could have, but didn't.
I'll never get a dog. Now we have two.
The website is...
Someday that Christmas tree will show up. RonWilsonOnline.com.
At your house. And
yes, it will be at my house.
The website, which is RonWilsonOnline.com, has... Rita has given her favorite Thanksgiving recipes. So we start off with her broccoli casserole,
mm-hmm.
which is already gone.
It's a simple one.
Thanks, Daniel.
Yes.
Cranberry sauce, which I think there's a little bit. I think maybe a spoonful of that left.
I love cranberries for Thanksgiving.
And we added this, even though it's not a Rita recipe, it's a Ron Wilson recipe, the White Castle stuffing.
I love that stuff.
Which is yours, but still is good.
It's still good. So, yeah, try it.
I'm going to have to try that.
If you like White Castles, you'll like this stuffing.
I may have to try that one time.
It's funny if people go, "Wait, you don't tell them what it is," and they try it and go, "That's pretty good. That kind of tastes familiar." Yeah, it's a White Castle.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's very tasty.
Yeah. I'd eat it.
Do your parents eat White Castles?
No.
No.
No. I think in my entire... Before I got of driving age, I don't think we've ever had White Castle.
Really?
Never. And then when I was a... And, you know, I always saw the restaurants, and I was like, well, I'm driving
now.
Now
I'm driving.
Go ahead and go through a drive-through, and it's not terrible.
I like White Castle every now and then.
It's not terrible.
Don't eat them every day.
Right. That's not terrible.
No, I like them.
The plant of the week.
Yes.
Rosemary.
Yes.
And because it looks
just
like.
Just in time for the holidays.
Just in time for the holidays. It looks like a little Christmas tree, too.
Can be. That's why you see them right now, anyway. So tough one to grow inside. Got some tips on there for you. But rosemary. You like the flavor of rosemary?
Yeah.
Tastes like pine needles to me. Mm-hmm. I don't. It's not one of my
favorites. I don't like do a ton, but, you know, if the recipe calls for some.
I'm learning to
I'll
like
throw it
more.
In, but I'll usually, like, throw half.
Yeah.
Like if it says like a teaspoon, I'll do like a half.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I get it. That does kind of taste like pine needles.
Yeah.
But yeah, is what it is.
That's all right. But Rita's had some great recipes with it, and she knows how.
But we do burn a lot of incense, and what's one of our favorites is the rosemary incense. So.
Cool.
There you go.
Smells good.
It does smell good.
Yeah.
Now, I'd be remiss. It is before Thanksgiving. I want to thank you for letting me do this, because it is your show.
Thank you for doing it.
Thank all the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And thank all the past producers. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Daniel, for letting me in the door. I still want to know why. But I'm not going to thank you for not leaving any of Rita's food.
And he's just not sorry about it either.
I'm sure he's not. It's like, come on, man.
Care.
Not even a spoonful.
Doesn't care, you don't think.
And there goes the cranberry sauce.
There you go.
I guess we're not going to be getting it.
So much for that.
And, thanks. And, you know, we gave him a lot of grief when he was here. And but in reality, you know, if we didn't give him grief, it's because we didn't like him. And so, you know, I know he listens every week. And a big old shout out to Dr. Z.
In Washington,
D.C. He's probably, you know, he might be listening right now.
Yeah, what if he's coming home next week?
But if not, he's probably watching Simpsons or something. But we're thankful for him for keeping the fort down for the year or so that he attempted to run your show.
A couple years, wasn't it?
Well, I don't remember.
I don't know.
That he attempted to run your show.
All righty then.
You know, I love you.
Yeah, so, he does.
But yeah. But again, thanks. Thanks for having me and putting up with me and putting up with my shenanigans and
always
giving
pleasure.
Me 10 minutes.
And see, I even brought in the Thanksgiving poem for
yes,
you.
Yes, I see that.
I rewrote that.
I see that.
Just for you.
That was a long time ago.
Many years ago when you
you may have to
your
go,
entire life.
You may have to go back to the 2013 since I've gained some weight back.
You're still there.
Yeah, we'll see. So I'm done. I got to head on home.
Good. Little sausage burritos on the way home?
Possibly.
All right. Well, have a great Thanksgiving.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
It's always, we're very thankful to have you doing this, and always a pleasure.
Wow.
We're working together for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
18 years.
That would be Joe Strucker.
18 years in January.
Our executive producer. If you like what you see on our website at RonWilsonOnline.com, Facebook page, In the Garden with Ron Wilson, Joe Strucker had absolutely everything to do with it. You notice something on there that you really don't like?
Not my fault.
It wasn't his fault. Let's blame...
Just call Dr. Z. He needs a... He's lonely.
Dr. Z in Washington, D.C. 800-823-8255. Here in the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Daniel.
Joe Strecker.
Dr. Z.
Green thumb or not, Ron can help at 1-800-823-TALK. This is In the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number, 800-823-8255. We're going to go right to the gardening phone lines. Elaine, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have a question about the coffee grounds. You said something about a few weeks back about keeping them and put them in the garden.
Yes.
Well, I kept them. I kept this so I could get a whole bunch. I didn't know where I was going to put them.
Mm-hmm.
And now, should I just throw those away or what? Because they kind of molded a little bit.
No, the mold will go away, and they'll do that if you put them in a jar or whatever. It'll mold a little bit because it's moist.
Right.
So no, that mold will go away. That's just you fluff that up with a once you take it out and shake the can a little bit and spread that out. The mold goes away, so it's not an issue. So continue to use it. That's fine.
But now where am I going to use it? See, I don't know where to use
anywhere.
It.
Literally, you can take coffee grounds and use them anywhere. That's why I've always said anybody that throws coffee grounds away, you're wasting them, because you can throw it in the mulch in your landscape beds. You can sprinkle it in the vegetable garden. You can sprinkle it in the grass. You can sprinkle it around your trees.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter. They'll love you for it. Wherever you put it, they're going to love you for it. But just, you know, really spread it out and just broadcast it. But you can do it anywhere you want in the whole, in the entire yard. You can use them up. And it's a great thing to do. And the earthworms absolutely love you for using, putting those coffee grounds.
That was my next question. Yeah. Will it be good for this time of year? Because aren't the earthworms...
They don't go dormant.
No.
Nope. They stay active. But the thing of it is, what they don't take care of right now will start to decompose and work its way into the soil. So either way, it's a great addition. And tea leaves fall into the same category. So for folks that, you know, have the tea bags and they do their own tea, you can rip those open and use those as well. Or in many cases, toss that tea bag into a compost pile and it'll all break down and then, you know, it becomes compost for you. But yeah, okay. Coffee grounds, anywhere you want to toss them out there, sprinkle them around, it works.
Okay, I'll try that. And one more question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I have a Korean lilac bush out in front, and it should be cut back because it's kind of needs cutting back. Is now a good time to do that?
Well, no, and I'll tell you why. Because if you cut it back now, you're going to lose your flowers in the springtime. So what I would do, if you have to cut it back because it's overgrowing the sidewalk or a driveway, then you just have to do it. But if you can wait till after it's finished flowering, and as soon as those flowers start to become spent, you know, falling apart, that's the best time to prune those, because the new growth that comes out after that, and that's when they put out new growth, is when they're done flowering, those are what carry the flower buds for next year's flowering. So if you wait too long and you prune them, you lose a lot of the flowers. So you can do it, yes, but you'll lose your flowers if you do it.
Okay, well, when you do cut it back, how far can you cut it back?
Oh, you can do it pretty hard. I mean, you know, lilacs respond nicely to a really hard pruning if necessary.
Okay. Good.
Now, if you do it really hard, it may take it 2 years to start to come back to its normal flowering capacity, but it will come back. So expect a lighter, you know, flowering the second year, the year after you do it.
Oh, okay.
But that's only if you cut it back really hard. But otherwise, you know, again, wait till they're just done flowering, then cut them back, and you're good to go.
That'll be like in the spring or early summer, probably.
Yeah, it'll be late spring. And you've got about a 3 or 4 week window there. If you notice, when the flowers become spent, they sit there for a while, and all of a sudden you start to see that new growth comes out, and you want to get on it before that happens.
I see. Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. We'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll jump back into the gardening phone lines at 800-823-8255 here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number, 800-823-8255, talking about yarding on this weekend before Thanksgiving. And I'm glad you brought up the thing about the coffee grounds, because I've promoted that and try to encourage folks to use up those coffee grounds and tea leaves for years and years and years and years. As a matter of fact, I think the first tip sheet I ever wrote on using coffee grounds was probably 15 years ago or longer. And they've actually done some scientific research about using coffee grounds, because a couple of the issues that used to come up was the fact that it changes the pH of the soil. Well, they found out, guess what? Using coffee grounds could possibly change the pH over time, so it can help that as far as lowering the pH, but it takes a lot of coffee and a lot of time, a lot of coffee grounds, and a lot of time to get it to lower the pH. So not an issue, because it used to be Sprinkle it around your azaleas and rhododendrons and hollies and plants that want an acidic soil, but don't use it around anything else. Well, that's not true. They kind of backed off on that. So, you know, it's again, through scientific research, seeing how much it actually does change the pH of the soil. But what they did find out is that using coffee grounds in soil around some greens in the vegetable garden, some of the greens, some of the mustards, I think a couple of the cabbage or broccolis, if you actually side-dressed around those and there was quite a bit of coffee grounds in the soil, actual coffee grounds, it could stunt them a little bit. Other than that, they found nothing to discourage anyone from putting coffee grounds in the soil, and the fact that it was a great addition, especially to compost piles. And earthworms do enjoy them, and they will grab those and bring them right back down in the soil for you. So, you know, I look at it and say there's no place really in your yard or garden that you can't sprinkle coffee grounds. You used coffee grounds, whether it be in the vegetable garden, whether it be out in the perennial garden, throw it in your landscape beds, throw it in the turf. A friend of mine used to work with told me one time that they on Saturday morning or Sunday morning was their tradition. He and his wife would sit on the back porch and they would drink coffee, watch sun come up, read the paper, whatever. And then when they were done brewing the coffee, whatever, he would take the coffee grounds and throw them off the porch into the turf. And he did that for, you know, every Sunday or Saturday morning that they did this. And one summer, after he'd been doing it for a couple years, got into a bit of a hot, dry situation. He didn't irrigate the lawn, but he said what was interesting was where he had been tossing those coffee grounds for a couple years now stayed the greenest of the entire yard. So it just shows you what it, you know, doing that small amount can actually help. And of course, it helps to build up the population of the earthworms, et cetera, how much it can help. So again, you shouldn't be tossing them out. I know a lot of folks that will go to their local coffee shops, Starbucks, whatever, stop in and pick up their extra coffee grounds to put in their gardens, to sprinkle on the lawn, to put in the landscape beds, and to put in the compost pile because it's such a great addition. So, and tea leaves as well. Yes, they fall into the same category. So keep that in mind. But again, it's a great source of organic matter, helps improve soil structure like we talked about, moisture retention as well. It's a low source of nitrogen. All right, so it's a low source of nitrogen, has low levels of I think it's got phosphorus and potassium, a little bit of calcium in it, magnesium, I think, as well. They're very low, but they are there, so it does help. So, again, it's getting that organic matter back into the soil, and you're, adding organic matter back. And, you know, my old saying is pamper your worms. And when I say pamper your worms, why do I say that? You know, I've got the old Yard Boys top 10 points to ponder. And about four down, it says pamper your worms. And the reason I say that is if you do everything in your soils to make them alive, adding organic matter, all the practices that you do to make them alive, to bring up that microbial activity and to increase earthworm activity, all right? And if you increase that earthworm activity and you dig down and take an earthworm count, if you've never done this before, it's really an interesting way to see where your soil is. Take a sharp square spade and dig up a 12-inch square cube of soil. Bring it up and just take a look at it first from the sides. Do you see any earthworm holes or where they've got tunnels in there? If not, start to break it apart. Do you see any inside there? If not, you got a problem because you don't have any earthworms. You have no activity in there. But if you start to see a few holes here and there, a few tunnels here and there, that's a good thing. And the more you see, the better off you're going to be. So you encourage your earthworms. You pamper your earthworms so that the earthworm activity is phenomenally beneficial to your soil. So again, adding the coffee grounds is just one of the many ways to help pamper your worms wherever they are in the soils in your yard and garden. To increase the activity that they open up the soils for you. I mean, it's phenomenal what they do. Talking about vermicomposting, making that earthworm bin and composting indoors with those red wrigglers, talking with M. Shipman from Kids Gardening. You know, it's those earthworm castings or worm poop that's very expensive to buy, but it's great stuff, and you can do it yourself. But again, pamper your worms, increase the earthworm activity in your yard and garden. I guarantee you, everything will do so much better. It's proven that they will. and coffee grounds just happens to be one of the many ways that you can do that. All right, before we take a break, we're going to travel to Dayton, and we're going to talk to our good buddy Dick. Dick, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, you and Danny. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, Dick. Now, we have big plans for Thanksgiving.
Well, I was supposed to go to my girlfriend's in Columbus, but yeah. I think we're just going to get a carry out, like from MCL with this virus going around.
So you're just going to kind of stay home.
Yeah.
Play it safe. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. That's a good thing.
Hey, I got something to tell you and Danny. I'm so honored. I stopped the other day at Speedway.
Yeah.
And guess who I met?
Who?
He says, Dick from Dayton, how are you? You remember, you know Jay Ratliff.
Oh, absolutely. Great guy.
Yeah, he said, Dad wanted me to wish you a great day, Dick. He says he had the honor to talk to you, and he says, you come Monday, and I'm going to take your picture, Dick, and show it to Mom and Dad. But we always talk about, you know, iHeartRadio there in Cincinnati. I felt honored to meet him, Ron.
Oh, yeah. So it was his son?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jay's a nice guy. As a matter of fact, I've met him, Jay, a couple times. He's as nice in person as he is on the radio.
Is he?
Yep. Really nice guy.
You know what?
Very much so.
Yep.
Guess what?
What?
Plumber still is the top dog.
Is it? You know, I was at Lowe's this past week and picking up some lumber, and it looks like it's kind of back in supply again.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like the supplies are coming back up again, so you can start to rebuild again.
This is a funny thing. Tell Danny and everybody, but Lowe's in Beaver Creek never looks forward to Monday or Tuesday.
Because you're not there.
No.
I understand.
They say the place is a wreck.
It's probably a wreck and a ghost town because nobody wants to come there if you're not there.
Nope. I'm telling you, there's a girl from, she works in Florida and down here. She says, Dick, I've never seen anybody as fast as you to get blue carts and, you know, the shopping cart.
Yeah.
We greet everybody. And,
sure.
You know, it's kind of nice to see it. And a lot of the Cincinnati people come to my store, too, you know?
Sure. Well, like I said, you know, you're Dick from Dayton. You're famous.
Yeah.
People drive to
and,
see you.
You know, we're playing a little bit in the band. You know,
good.
I talked to John Weber. We're going to get back. But there's about seven of us. We still could make music.
That is very, very important, especially this time of the year. I got a quick question. We got to go.
Okay.
Christmas is coming up, obviously, in about, 4 weeks. Do you put up a Christmas tree?
We won't this year.
No? But no. If you do, was it live or artificial?
Artificial.
Oh, you hurt my heart.
Have a good week.
All right, you too. And have a great Thanksgiving, Dick.
Okay, I'll talk to you again.
All right, take care.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Dick from Dayton, artificial tree. Dan, I know I've asked you this before. You guys put up a tree, right?
Yes.
Live or artificial?
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Asking Danny before we went into the break, artificial or live tree. And, of course, I think you got your answer. I know I did because we went right to a break. And that tells me everything right there. Hey, before we go back to the gardening phone lines,
it was funny, though, right?
Oh, I thought it was hilarious. But someday, just like with Joe, we've got to get you into that live Christmas tree.
We do it, but a lot of times it's just the artificial.
So you do occasionally?
Yeah.
Okay. So it just depends on the situation, what's going on.
The year.
Okay. That's fair. I can go with that.
All right.
A quick tease before we go back to the gardening phone lines at 800-823-8255. And by the way, coming up in our next hour, Ron Roth is the arbor.com going to talk about the weather, Thanksgiving forecast, and, of course, what we should be doing with our trees. And then at the bottom of the hour, got another book. It is a great book. especially if you're doing house plants. And she's been on our show before with some of our other books. Lisa Steinkopf is going to be with us. Her new book out is called House Plant Party, with all kinds of great projects to do with your house plants and the easiest ones to grow. But I was about 3 weeks ago stopped to see a friend of mine who has a produce stand called, it's not a stand, it's a nice little place, but it's called the Citrus Tree. Terry Diefenbacher. And if you remember, Terry's been on our show several times. I call him the TD, the touchdown of tomatoes, because he knows how to grow tomatoes. Been doing it since his grandfather, major producer of tomatoes. And so it's been passed down generation to generation. Now his daughter, Elise, does the same thing, and she says she's better than Terry, so, which is unbelievable because Terry's one of the best. But anyway, stopped in to see him, hadn't seen him for a while, and he happened to have a nice bin of the remaining of his production crop, tomato crop, for 2020, and the late crop that he had picked. And in that group was a huge, and I'm talking 8 inches in diameter, Kellogg's breakfast tomato. All right? You hear me talking about Kellogg's all the time as the best tasting tomato that's out there. Great slicer, thick, juicy, sweet. Sometimes it's, folks will eat them and they say they're so sweet they don't like it because it's so sweet. Absolutely outstanding. So I came home with this 8-inch diameter Kellogg's breakfast tomato. And I, on the way home that evening, you know what I did? I went and bought a pound of bacon. I got some fresh Italian bread. We got everything else so that we could have BLTs for dinner. And when
I sounds really good,
oh
right
my
now.
Gosh, when I sliced into that Kellogg's breakfast, the juice started to run out the sides. It was thick. It was unbelievable, and I got about 6 big slices off of this thing to show you how big it was, and it fit over the entire, one slice, fit the entire sandwich. But it was, and I had to stop myself because I cut one slice up in pieces to start eating as I was cooking the bacon. I could have eaten the whole thing just with nonstop. Absolutely one of the sweetest, best tasting slicing tomato out there. I still claim it's the best. Amana Orange is right there with it. There's no doubt about it, but it was unbelievable. So again, TD, thanks for doing that. End of the year fresh tomato. It was Kellogg's breakfast. And of course, I've always said this story. The first time my wife ever tasted Kellogg's breakfast many years ago when I first grew it, her comment was when the BLT was, what is that tomato? Because that thing is outstanding. And if my wife says that, and she notices it, I knew we had a winner right there in Kellogg's breakfast. So as you're looking at your tomato list for next year, check with your local independent garden center and see if they're going to grow Kellogg's breakfast. Terry has increased his number of Kellogg's breakfast. Good friend up in Columbus, Tomato Dick, he continues to grow more and more Kellogg's breakfast all the time as well. And once you try one, if you like a good thick slice, something like a beefsteak type tomato that's really juicy and sweet, you're going to love Kellogg's breakfast. So be sure and keep that in mind. By the way, don't forget to start getting your catalogs together as well. I think I got my first, I think it was my first catalog for vegetables, Tomato Growers Supply, which is a great catalog. If you don't get this one, check it out. It's tomatogrowers.com. But I got that one, and a lot of great tomatoes in there already, and they do have Kellogg's breakfast in there as well. But get your Burpees, get your Johnny Seeds, get your Baker Creek. Start getting all those lined up so you've got those seeds coming to just make your mouth water as we go through the winter season. But again, TD, thanks for sharing your last Kellogg's breakfast tomato with me. And, folks, it was absolutely – my mouth is watering so much right now I can barely talk. But, anyway, we're going to go back to the gardening phone lines. We're going to talk to Marge. Marge, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question regarding there's a fence that the neighbor has put up, which is about 6 feet tall, and it's kind of a dingy gray. And I dug the grass in front of it about a foot, or there's 6 feet long and 12 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets morning sun, but other than that, not too much sun. So I'm wondering what would be the best plant to put in that area just to kind of, so I don't have to look at the fence.
But we don't want to draw attention at the same time, correct?
No, it would, because...
The reason I say that is because, you know, if we plant something that's really showy and flowering all the time,
mm-hmm.
it draws our eye to where that fence is. Now, is that okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Because looking out the, you know, the windows, you want to put something that's colorful. And
got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the 12-inch deep bed is not very much to work with.
Okay, well, I can enlarge that.
So I think the best thing for you to do, because what we could take a look at is looking at a combination of some narrow upright evergreens, obviously some flowering shrubs that'll give you something during the summer. And I would also look at perennials and annuals to give, because you know they're going to give you off and on color and, you know, create that so you've got something coming in the flower and et cetera, throughout the entire summer.
Hmm.
You know, for evergreen-wise, they actually like as much sun as possible. But there are, you know, if you look at boxwood and you look at Japanese yews, they will tolerate a shadier condition for you. And there are a couple upright varieties that would work in a more narrow bed. So that would kind of give you a little bit of upright so that in the wintertime, you've still got a couple things out there to give you something to see instead of that fence.
Okay.
Then, as far as shrubs go, oh my, let's see. Azaleas would be a possibility where it's a morning sun, afternoon shade. Itias would be a great one. Spice
what is that
bush.
One did you say? I didn't get that.
I-T-E-A. Would be a great one for you. Clethra would be a great one. You have to look these up so you can see what they look like. But
how do
those,
you spell that one?
C-L-E-T-H-R-A, Clethra.
Okay.
But those are ones that will tolerate the shading, more shading, and will give you some flowering at the same time.
Okay. So,
and then down below all of those, then start looking at your shade-loving perennials. Look at hosta. Look at Lenten rose. Look at ferns. Things like that that will give you both foliage and flower, and then maybe even you pocket in a few annuals here and there, like begonias or impatiens, terrenia, those types of things to give you color down below. Now we've staggered it, so we've got annuals that you have to plant every year, but that's you can always count on those for all summer color.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some perennials that'll come back every year and give you staggered color through the summer. You've got some shrubs that'll give you woody structure, either spring or summer color there as well, and then you've got some evergreens. So you do a combination of things to give you something there all the time. And again, the depth of that bed, a minimum of 3 feet, 4 would be even better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
to give
okay.
it plenty of room to plant. So it's not just this straight line, but give it some depth, you know, and it doesn't have to be straight across. You know, you could have it kind of a kidney-shaped away from it, so it's, you know, maybe that one area is out about 5 feet, and then it goes back to 2 feet from the fence or something like that.
Like a horseshoe kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's flowing, and do it that way. And then you've got low, medium, and a few uprights in there. Now you got something to look at when you're looking out that window, and a combination of all kinds of things. And I'll tell you what, if you're not going to plant this fall, take a picture of the area and the dimensions. Check with your local independent garden centers. There's a lot of them that will draw you a free sketch and ideas of what to put in there and create that type of a look. And then you can get your plans together. And if you don't plant it this fall, of course, you can jump on it early spring.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Good talking to you. We'll take a quick break. We come back. The Arbor Doc will be on with us talking about the weather forecast. Also, we're going to hear from a special guest before we talk to the Arbor Doc, Dr. Z from Washington, D.C. Then at the bottom of the hour.
He's my hero.
I think he's everybody's hero. That's why we're going to make sure we talk to him. And then we're going to talk to Lisa Steinkoff, her new book, House Plant Party, just in time for the winter season as we're starting to mess around with those house plants inside. It's all happening here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Do-it-yourself gardener at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Our toll-free number, same as it is every Saturday morning, it's 800-823-8255. Good morning, I am Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy, talking about gardening. Let's jump right back into the gardening phone lines, because coming up after we talk to our special guest here is the Arbor Doc. We're going to talk about the weather for Thanksgiving and what we should be doing with our trees. But in the meantime, it's Dr. Z in Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Wow, I can't believe I'm on. This is an honor. Thank you, sir. It's my first time.
Yeah, I hear you. So you're not able to travel back to Ohio for Thanksgiving because of all the...
All the nonsense, yeah.
All the things going on, which is fine. You got your sweet tart there, so.
Got our sweet tart and got our Thanksgiving food here. And, you know, with modern conveniences like FaceTime, I'll be able to at least see everybody. It's not quite the same, but, you know.
That's right.
It works out.
Do you think they'll have any of the roosters up at the, to be able to talk to you, any of the chickens? Ruby, maybe?
Hopefully.
Maybe your dad will get Ruby up to the...
Yeah, hopefully we'll get Ruby up. And then I can't even remember if I told you. We had a new chick earlier this year.
No, you didn't tell me.
No, yeah. They were down to one rooster and one hen. I don't want to get too far into the details on that.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, well, when these chickens, you know, do their thing, they're obviously going to take care of them for as long as possible. But when these chickens do their thing, we might not get any more. And apparently they went out one day, and they just heard some peeping, and there was a new chick there somehow, and they've named that one Cuddles. So
a new chick just out of nowhere showed up.
Just out, Dad goes out to feed the chickens, and he hears peeping. He's like, oh, no. And then they looked in the little egg box, and there was a little chicken like being like, yeah, it's 2020, and I'm here. What are you going to do about it?
Did they name it Dr. Z?
No, it's Cuddles. So
Cuddles.
It's Dougie, Cuddles, and then... Chirp Chirp.
Chirp Chirp's still around.
Yep, he's still kicking, and he's getting very ornery, though. Like,
he's getting old, too.
You know those, what's that?
He's getting old, too.
He's like 4 years old at this point, so in rooster terms, he's an old man.
He's an old man, kind of like me.
But, so first thing, thank you for all that you do. Wanted to say that, you know, we really appreciate the show.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure.
Second thing. White Castle, unlike Joe, that was where my dad took me all the time, especially if I needed to learn a life lesson. So he'd be like, how about you and I go to White Castle? And it's like, all right, it's going to be some great food, but I'm going to have to get like a talk for 40 minutes. So that was sort of my experience with White Castle. But I agree with you. The stuffing sounds amazing.
Oh, the stuffing's outstanding. Anybody that ever has it, they love it. And then they can say whatever they want, but they always love it. So if anybody wants a recipe, it's on our website at RyanWilsonOnline.com.
I might need to make it because I don't know if you knew this. It's not White Castle isn't a thing out here in D.C.
What do you have, crystals or something like that?
I can't find anything like it. I mean, obviously they have it in the frozen food section.
I remember
being out here once, and late night I was like, let's get some White Castle. And they're like, what, do you want a road trip up to New Jersey? It's not around here. I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I can live here.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I don't know if I could live there either.
Yeah, so... That, and then the final thing, second to last thing is Little Ron is doing good.
Good.
Everyone wants to know.
ZZ plant.
What's that?
Your ZZ plant.
Yep.
Yep.
So he's growing huge. I'll have him take a photo and put him in the garden chat on your Facebook page.
Email it to me so I can put it on our website so everybody can see it.
Okay. I'll do that too.
All right.
And then the last item, I'm trying to go through these really quickly because I don't want to take too much time for the Arbor Doc.
Oh, he's already mad because you're taking up his time.
I can't say on the radio what he told me.
Yeah, he has already expressed his opinion.
Oh, man. I'm very sorry, Ron. But the last thing, because I'm your favorite producer, right, I have always advocated for the real tree. I just want everyone to know that. I'm not a suck-up.
No.
Man. Get a real tree, and then you'll be on my level.
Trust me. The first year, and you were still, you had your dorm room, right, or whatever. I don't know. You had an apartment.
My college apartment.
You got a picture, and there was Dr. Z with his live tree.
Which was great as far as getting brownie points with you, but I can also understand the criticisms because I got the pine needles everywhere. And a few months later, the landlords were like, there's some stuff around here. And it's like, man, you can't get it all.
Well, Dr. Z, it's because you're supposed to vacuum after you take that out.
I did vacuum it, but even then, some of them still decided to hide it for
they always do.
After.
It's a great reminder of what a great time you had for the holiday season. And you have to admit, when you had some, when you're dating at the time, it was made you a little bit more impressive.
Yeah, it's like, look at me. I can keep this tree alive,
exactly.
And I can be nurturing to you too.
Exactly. So, hey, we got to.
So,
Ron,
I got through all my items. Thank you for everything. I will let the Arbor Doc take over.
Dr. Z, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, my friend. Right. God bless.
Take care. All right. Dr. Z taking up the time from the true seer of seers, our weather predictor. Now, I don't have any notes in front of me, Ron Rothus, our Arbor Doctor, so I'm going to say he is a... Oh, I can't say it. Go ahead and say what you are. Certified, ISA certified master board something or other arborist.
Yes, in some order.
In some order out there. His website is arbordoctor.com. Ron Rothus with us this morning. Now, have you heard the indoor Thanksgiving forecast? I know you have.
Yes.
All right. So what is going to be the outdoor Thanksgiving forecast for all around the country, including our area?
Well, there's going to be a pretty good-sized storm system that's going to be moving through in the middle of the week through the Ohio Valley. And it's going to not be overly cold, so it doesn't look like we're going to have, you know, snowstorms for anybody who might be traveling, which doesn't sound like it's going to be too many people.
No.
That system right now looks like it's going to clear the Ohio Valley for Thanksgiving. It could linger on with a little bit of rain, but right now the forecast says it might be sunny on Thanksgiving in Cincinnati, so that's pretty good. Of course, areas east and northeast of here might get some rain, but that's not a totally bad thing because New England is still in drought, as it's Pennsylvania. So
really,
it's a lot of areas that still need rain.
Where are we right now in southern Ohio Valley, as far as rainfall?
It has been a dry month at my location. It's kind of interesting because there was a weather system that went through a couple weeks ago, and it dropped close to an inch of rain over probably the eastern half of the Cincinnati metro area. You might have gotten it up at your nursery.
We did.
I know that report from down northern Kentucky said it's pretty wet right now. I got a quarter inch out of that. I mean, it totally skipped my house. So I've had two-thirds of an inch for the month of November at my location, which is considerably below normal for November. Now, October was well above normal, so I'm not crying drought, so Gary Sullivan can back off of getting upset about that. But it has been dry this month at my location, and when you look at the country as a whole, Ohio is pretty good. Northern Indiana still has moderate drought, believe it or not. Central Illinois. And a good part of the country, especially west of the Mississippi River, there's a large area that's in severe to exceptional drought from the plains out to almost into Northern California, Oregon. So there's a lot of areas that could use rain. The southeast, the Tennessee Valley has been exceptionally, at least the Tennessee Valley has been exceptionally wet. In most areas, there's a couple exceptions. So, long story short, we could use the rain, and it looks like it's going to be kind of a wet week in the Ohio Valley, off and on at least, but Thanksgiving's looking pretty good.
Looking pretty nice for that day, and you're right, at my house, we could use the rain right now. I've been doing some watering, and hopefully other folks have too. Talking with Ron Rothus, our ISA board certified master arborist, and of course, hobby meteorologist. And his website is arbordoctor.com/weather. If you want to see all the weather postings on there, you'll read it. You'll be on there for probably 2 years reading all the posts that he has on there. But it's all great stuff.
And by that time, we will have added a lot of things. You have to go back and start over.
Well, you'll just see it popping up on your screen, and you'll never get off of there. And you're always stuck on the website because there's so much stuff there. Let's take a quick break. We come back. We'll continue talking with Ron Rothus, the Arbor Doc, here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Got gardening questions? Ron has the answers at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson. And just so you know, the Thanksgiving forecast indoors will be turkeys will thaw in the morning, then warm in the afternoon to an oven high of around 190 degrees. Now, the kitchen will turn hot and humid. If you bother to cook, be ready for a severe squall or cold shoulder. Now, during the late afternoon and evening, the cold front of a knife will slice through the turkey, causing an accumulation of 1 to 2 inches on plates. Mashed potatoes will drift across one side, while cranberry sauce creates slippery spots on the other. Please pass the gravy. Now, a Weight Watch and indigestion warning will have been issued for the entire area with increased stuffiness around the beltway. Now, during the evening, the turkey will diminish and taper off to leftovers, dropping to a low of 34 degrees in the refrigerator. Looking ahead to Friday and Saturday, high pressure to eat sandwiches will be established. Flurries of leftovers can be expected both days with a 50% chance of scattered soup late in the day. We expect a warming trend where soup develops, and then by early next week, eating pressure will be low, as the only wish left will be the bone. Do you agree with that, Ron Rothes?
How could I not?
Are you all set for Thanksgiving?
We have the turkey in the refrigerator, you know, beginning its thawing process. So, yes, we're all set.
Are you going to make White Castle stuffing?
No.
No? Not a fan?
Well, I didn't say that. I don't know if I've ever had White Castle stuffing. I have a sensitivity to onions, which makes me have a sensitivity, I guess, to White Castles. But I have stopped in White Castle on occasion because the children and my wife like White Castle, and I'll get it with White Castle without the onions, and I can actually
can they do
a couple
that?
Of those. Yes, they can.
Huh.
Which is good because if they couldn't, I couldn't have them.
I figured you'd be having like the chicken rings or something.
Fish nibblers. The fish
oh, yeah,
are
those
really
are good.
Good.
Yeah, those are good, too.
Yeah.
Talking with Ron Rothes, of course, he is our ISA board-certified master arborist and our hobby meteorologist. His website, arbordoctor.com. For the weather, go /weather, or it's what's the other website?
Arbordoctor.com or weather.arbordoctor.com.
Weather.arbordoctor.com. Yes. You can go to either way, and he'll be on there for years because he posts so much stuff on there. I have no idea how he gets out there to take care of trees. I actually have a couple tree questions for you, sir, to tap into your master arborist knowledge.
I might know something about trees. You never know.
I think you do. You know, a lot of times, and you see this happen quite a bit, where two branches or so will split off of a tree, especially pears, and will split down the side of the tree a bit, kind of crack a little bit. And so the remaining wound that's, you know, a foot, foot and a half long on one side of the trunk has the broken wood there, the splintered wood. Obviously, that becomes a weak spot in the tree. It'll probably snap off eventually. But in the meantime, if someone's looking to keep the tree as long as it'll last, do you recommend doing something to that broken, shattered heartwood that's there, exposed, or do you just leave it alone and let it do its thing?
Well, if you have a lot of shattered pieces or things like that, you can clean that out a little bit if you do it right away. But in general, you don't want to do a whole lot to it because trees have a natural mechanism where they actually respond to the exposure to oxygen and put up chemical barriers to the spread of decay within the tree, as well as forming wound wood or wound tissue. Wound, W-O-U-N-D. My mouth isn't working real well this morning. The wound wood will slowly kind of form that rounded tissue that you see around the edges of an old wound or right. around a pruning cut, and you want that to be able to close over the wound as quickly as possible. Now, if you have a big gaping hole from a broken branch or something like that, that may never happen.
Right.
On a pear tree, pears are remarkably, calorie pears are remarkably resistant to decay, and I've seen old areas where the branch is broken off, you know, years ago, even 20 years ago in a few cases, where there really is not any decay that's set into that. So they're kind of unique. I mean, it's kind of ironic. They don't decay, but then the rest of the leaders are probably just as weakly attached as the one that broke off. So it's kind of a good news, bad news type of thing. On other trees like oaks and maples, they can be more prone to that decay spreading, especially maples, red maples and silver maples.
Right.
But once that wound tissue has formed around there, and when it becomes really well formed, trees tend to overreact to that wounding. So those that wound tissue is really, really strong, and once it gets really, you know, well formed and well established, that's actually a pretty strong point on the tree. So while the hole or the wound area is a weak point, the wound wood is a strong point. I have a colleague that said once that he challenges you to find a tree that breaks, where the wound wood itself breaks if it's well formed. Now, you know, obviously, if it breaks and you just have 1 year of wound wood growth, that's not going to be too terribly strong yet.
Right.
But if it's well formed, you have a big rounded area on either side of that old wound. That's actually pretty strong tissue.
Now, and so, you know, I guess going back to the wood that's splintered, and you know what I'm talking about,
uh-huh.
sticking up. So you could leave that, just leave it alone, and eventually that will just kind of, or do you actually take like a saw or something and just try to, I know you don't want to enlarge anything, but do you try to get rid of that so there's no wound up, or you just let it, for the most part, just
if
let it go?
If it's splintered, you can clean up the splintering a little bit, but if you start digging around in there, you can actually start to dig into the area where the tree is going to form those chemical barriers.
Right, right.
So digging around in there is not recommended.
Got it.
But cleaning up, you know, splintering and rough edges and things like that, you can trace, you know, the edge of a wound a little bit if you do it, you know, soon after it occurs.
Right.
To get some of that loose stuff off of there. When I say trace, you know, with a sharp knife or something like that, just to kind of smooth it out.
Right.
You want rounded edges. But, I mean, if it's even several weeks old, the tree may very well have started to form that wound wood, and you really don't want to be cutting into that.
Right.
Because that's the tree's response, and it's a good response. You don't want to short-circuit it.
Got it. Hey, always a pleasure. Great information as usual. Again, his website is arbordoctor.com. Ron Rothes. And, of course, check out the weather on there because he's always – pretty much always right.
And we have a lot to be thankful for, even in this 2020 season. It's a time of the year to really think about the blessings that we all do have.
I'm with you 100%, Ron. Always a pleasure having you on the show. Have a great Thanksgiving with the family, and we will talk to you sometime in December because I want to know, white snow, white Christmas or not, he'll have our answers sometime in a couple weeks. Thank you.
The snow will be white, I guarantee it.
Oh, he's such a funny man. We take a quick break. We come back. Let's see, our special guest this morning, besides Ron, was going to be Lisa Steinkopf. Her new book out, House Plant Party. It's a really cool book with great projects. Here in the Garden with Ron Wilson.
How is your garden growing? Call Ron now at 1-800-823-TALK. You're listening to In the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Good morning. Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number, 800-823-8255, talking about yardening. And, of course, as we talk about yardening, as we get into the now late fall and into the winter months, talking a lot more about indoor yardening and, of course, all those great houseplants. And, boy, has that exploded or what? Becoming so popular. But, you know, growing houseplants successfully in the house can be a little bit trickier than growing things outdoors. So we've got to turn to our houseplant specialists. And, of course, one of those that we've turned to before on our show has a brand new book out, and it is absolutely outstanding. It's called Houseplant Party. She happens to be Lisa Steinkopf. And, of course, if you don't remember, she's got a couple other great books, A Complete Guide to Choosing and Growing and Caring for Indoor Plants, Grow in the Dark, How to Choose and Care for Low-Light Houseplants, and she's written several articles for Better Homes and Gardens and HGTV. And, of course, she helps our good friend Dr. Alan Armitage. She's the houseplant specialist on his gardening app, which I question her, you know, spending so much with Dr. Armitage. Just kidding, because we all love Dr. Armitage. But anyway, she's with us this morning. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on the show. We like to kid about Dr. Armitage. She's on with us about once a month, and we talk more about nothing than we do anything and have fun and laugh and joke.
He's wonderful.
He's a hoot, isn't he?
He is a hoot.
Next time you talk to him, ask him about eating apples, because that's his big thing, you know.
Oh, really?
I keep asking him to write a book about it's not about the apple, or it is all about the apple, instead of it's not about the hat.
There you go.
So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so make sure you ask him. Anyway, great book, Houseplant Party. Let me ask you this before we get started with this book. Houseplant Explosion, everybody in. You know, back in the 70s, you know, it was kind of cool because we all had houseplants. I think I had 46 or something like that in my college apartment with a little fountain and all that stuff. It kind of disappeared, but boy, it is back, and it is back strong. Why?
I think that young people are, unfortunately, for them, not for their parents usually, but they're living home longer. They're maybe not buying houses, and so they're not having pets and kids, and so it's called plant parenthood. Those are their babies, and they love them, and they want to, and they're very into the green scene and making everything organic and more healthy, and so why not fill your house with plants?
Yep, good point. And, you know, we've talked about the research over the years that, of course, NASA did many years ago about the benefits of indoor plants, you know, purifying the air and, of course, you know, just for general decorating. And then over the last probably 10 years or so, the research done with the mood modifiers and affecting how, you know, how we are at home and studying and kids and all. You've been tossing that out there and tossing it out there. But, boy, now the last 2 years or so, and you're seeing it just anywhere that sells houseplants, just you can't even really keep them in stock, especially this year with the virus and everybody staying home. They really went nuts.
They did. And I was looking at the houseplant trends, and the rare plants, if you haven't been to a specialty nursery lately, you know, one that sells houseplants, a lot of houseplants, some of those plants are getting upwards over, well over $1,000 per plant, and people are buying them.
Yeah.
Without even thinking about it.
Yeah, and that's even crazier because, you know, I think back old days, you know, it was always the common plants. And, of course, in this book, and you do list the common plants and plants that are easier to grow, and some of these are pretty unusual. But, you know, folks wouldn't pay that kind of money because you're taking a risk having it in the house and all that. And today, you're selling these little 4-inch plants for $30, $40, $50, like you said, or even more than
hundreds of dollars.
For an indoor plant. It's crazy, but it's cool. I'm enjoying it, and I, you know, folks are too. By the way, the name of the new book is called Houseplant Party by Lisa Steinkopf. Her website, which is outstanding, is thehouseplantguru.com, thehouseplantguru.com. Be sure and check that out as well. So let's talk about this book because I guess the first thing I have to say, I love it because you walk folks through the beginning as far as general houseplant care. You then pick out several houseplants that are very unique. As a matter of fact, you threw one in here that kind of surprised me. It's one of my favorites, and not a lot of people know it, is a goldfish plant. And we'll talk about that a bit. But you picked out some really cool plants that are easier to grow inside. But then you took it the next step, and now you're showing us how to have literally a party with these plants, with all these projects, how to propagate, how to do all that. My first question is, how in the world did you come up with all these projects?
Well, I have to say they weren't all my brain children, but I like to do crafts. I like to knit and crochet and paint, and, you know, so it all kind of came to me, you know, without too much thought. I love to macrame, mm-hmm. and macrame is back in it's crazy. So,
yeah.
You know, and I thought, let's find some things that, well, this was written before the pandemic, and it was like, let's get your friends together. And in fact, one of the photo shoots we did with three girls, and they were, you know, had an apartment together, going to college, and, you know, we were like, you know, laugh, and they were sanding things and for the trellis, and it was so much fun. I'm like, this is a book where you can get together with your friends, and you can get the supplies. It's not too expensive. Have a nice evening out. Do something for your plants. But after quarantine, we'll be able to do that again.
and isn't that interesting that, you know,
you can do it on Zoom together. There you go.
Hey, there you go. You're right. How you wrote this book before all this happened, and what perfect timing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes. There's lots of things. People can get this and do stuff with their kids that are home, college kids that are home. It's fun. It's fun to do stuff for your plants.
And I think that what's interesting about all these projects is they're not something that's, you know, crazy that you got to go out and buy a whole lot of different things. They're pretty simple projects that you can do, and they literally all look like a ton of fun. But you take it past the projects, which I think is really cool. You actually get into, if folks want to give it a try, get into grafting, propagating, taking cuttings. That's taking it to the next level.
Well, that you know, the bonsai, I did consult some experts at that point. The bonsai, I went to there's a man here in Michigan that has a bonsai store. I went to him to make sure that everything I said was correct. And the grafting cactus, I'm in the Cactus Society, so there was some people in there that I, you know, asked exactly how to do it because I wasn't too sure on that. And it worked. I was so impressed myself that I actually grafted a cactus. It was fun. I'm like, this worked. I have a whole new plant now, and I made it. It's unique. I made it.
you know the one, and I've never done that myself, and now we'll have to give it a try. The test tube propagator, what an easy thing to do, and that to me is pretty cool. As a matter of fact, I love doing that with coleus cuttings.
Yes, and think about if you had a whole blank wall, because, you know, my walls aren't blank. I'm not a minimalist. but if you... You know, a lot of people are, and they could do like a whole wall of them and have all those different colors coleus. How pretty would that be?
Oh, absolutely. And they last all winter long. It's amazing how well they do inside the house. We're talking with Lisa Steinkopf. This new book is Houseplant Party. It's a great book, and of course the holidays are coming up, so this will be a great one for a gift as well. Let's take a quick break. We come back, we'll continue talking with Lisa about this great book and some of the other projects here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Special guest this morning, she is the houseplant guru. As a matter of fact, that's her website, thehouseplantguru.com. She happens to be Lisa Steinkopf, talking about her latest book, which is outstanding. Great, great projects in here. I'm serious. You'll want to do all of them. It's called Houseplant Party. Fun projects for growing and tips for growing epic indoor plants. I think, and of course, I like it because you walk through everything as far as what plants require. And then you give us a list of some pretty cool plants that are kind of unusual that you feel are pretty good for growing in the house. I thought it was interesting, and you probably get some of the the industry newsletters out there looking for the next it for foliage plants for 2021. And, you know, folks were kind of suggesting a few things like the friendship plant, how that thing just exploded a couple years ago. Somebody said, you know, is there an it? Because they're so popular today, just the whole category should be the it.
Yes, but I will tell you that right now, the hottest plant going is it's a family of plants, is the aroids, which include your Monstera, your Mephilodendrons, Anthuriums, Alocasias.
Yeah.
They're all, it's insane. Those are the ones that are on the rare plant bench for hundreds of dollars. And anything variegated. If it's variegated, they will snap it up in a minute.
It's crazy. But, you know, I love it. I love what you have in here. I think the choices are outstanding. Of course, Venus Flytrap kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah. You know, some people are really into these whatever they're eating, plants. Nepenthes, which is, the monkey cups or the, I don't know why. But, you know, a lot of... everybody likes them, but little boys really like those. We own a garden center, and when little boys come in, they just head right for those Venus flytraps. They just love it.
It's because it eats something.
Yes.
You know, it bears down right. and eats something. So, you know, absolutely drawn to that. No doubt about it. Lisa Steinkopf with us this morning. Of course, this latest book is outstanding. Houseplant Party, Fun Projects and Growing Tips for Epic Indoor Plants. I noticed in the dedication you didn't mention Henry.
Oh. If you could see Henry right where he is right now, as soon as I get off this phone. I'm on a phone that my little Henry the kitty is. He is crazy, and right now he's up on a shelf that I didn't know he climbed on. And it's got a large amount of collectible, expensive things on it, plus some plants. He's looking at me like, you're tied to a phone. I'm actually on a rotary dial phone, if you can believe that.
Oh, really?
I am. It's the only landline I have, landline phone.
Do the kids know how to use it?
No.
No.
I've had people in here that don't even know what it is. They're like, what is that? It's from our garden center. We had a garden center since 1931, and so this phone is really old.
That's kind of cool, though. I like
it. Yeah, it's very cool.
Talking with Lisa Steinkopf, the name of the book is Houseplant Party, and this is a great book, great projects, good for the kids, grandkids, for you, whatever, and it would make a great Christmas present as well, so do keep it in mind. You know, one of the things you talk about in here, which I thought was really cool, and I've seen this at a couple of the trade shows, never done it myself, and I'm not sure I pronounce it right, is Kokedama?
Yes, Kokedama. It is that mothballs. It is so much fun. And I tell them, you know, the real true, you know, Kokedama balls have this Akadama soil, hard to find. Sometimes you have to order it. It's very heavy. It's expensive. And I'm like, you know what? All you got to do is really just take a 4-inch plant or whatever plant you want, any plant. It can be a 4-inch, a 5-inch, a 10-inch, whatever you want, and you just wrap that. I do use some heavy topsoil around it to kind of mimic the Akadama soil.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wrap it with moss, wrap it with twine, and you can hang it or you can put it in a nice bowl. It's just, and you could even do it with your poinsettia. It'd be so cool.
It's such a great look because it's just this root ball, and you don't see the roots, obviously. It's wrapped with the moss and then string or whatever around the outside, and that's what it grows in. I just love the look. And like I said, I saw a couple growers that were actually doing this, that you could buy them, ship them to your garden centers. I just think that, what a cool thing to do.
And it's fun. You know, it's messy. That's a really messy one because you're getting muddy. And
well, it makes it even better.
But it's very fun, and it comes. I think I'm going to do it. Now that you've mentioned that, I'm going to think I am going to do a poinsettia and see how that looks. Or a Christmas cactus.
Now, let me, that'd be cool, too. Now, you're in with the garden center business. Have you seen the new, have you guys been selling the waxed amaryllis?
We don't. We have a kind of a smaller garden center. But, chopping the roots off, dipping it in wax, it's not my,
I'm with you. I mean, I've been following that for the last couple of years, and now they've got them in those upside down hangers.
Yes, I see that.
Yeah,
but I was in a little store, like a little boutique. I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and they had them, and they had actually kind of made it look like a Kokedama ball, but instead of, I think they just took the waxed amaryllis, or maybe they might have even just used a regular amaryllis and then just covered it with like sheet moss, and that was more natural.
Sure,
kind of pretty, but I people like that. It does bloom. You don't have to. You can put an amaryllis in a jar and let just the roots grow in water and force it like you would a hyacinth or whatever, because everything they need is in that bulb. So
right.
Because it's all stored up. So, yeah, the wax ones work, and maybe they'll regrow roots, but I assume people just let them do their thing, and then in the trash they go.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's sold as a throwaway, which is unfortunate, but I'm assuming that's the intent.
Yeah. And I guess, I just have to get past that. There's a lot of people that, people throw, they're already dead, but cut flowers.
Yeah.
It lasts longer than cut flowers and
true.
And unique and interesting, and then out the door it goes. Not everybody wants to keep every plant. It's hard for me to see that, but I have to look at it from the consumer's point of view.
Absolutely.
The normal non-plant nerd's point of view.
There you go. Lisa Steinkopf, our special guest this morning. Again, her website is thehouseplantguru.com. Be sure and check it out. And this book is outstanding. It's called Houseplant Party, Fun Projects and Growing Tips for Epic Indoor Plants. I did say earlier, you mentioned goldfish plant in here, which I don't see that often. We sell it at our retail location. I love that. It's such an easy thing to grow, and it flowers all the time.
I know. My daughter got one for my mom because she loves orange, and she had it in her window. and it just bloomed its head off for her, and she loved it.
I think I got one for my mom many years ago, and I think it is probably 6 feet long. It needs to be cut back because it's starting to get kind of thin.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's hanging all the way to the ground, and of course, it only flowers at the ends. But I keep threatening to cut the thing back, and hopefully she'll let me do that sometime.
You can do that, and then you can make some more. You can make more.
That's what I was trying to tell.
Propagate them, and then you can have them all over the house.
Well, maybe she's listening, so that now she heard it from you. Maybe it'll be okay for me to do that. So
more plants is better. The more, the better.
Now, last time I talked to you, my question was, any idea how many houseplants you have in your house? And you said, have no idea.
I don't want to count. I will tell you, though, we had four really nice days here, and I'm sure you did down there in Ohio as well,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, we had a gift of like 4 days of 75-degree weather, and I decided to clean my sunroom, and it did take all of those 4 days. I moved most of the plants out onto the patio, and I could leave them there because the sun wasn't harsh enough to burn them, leave them there overnight, and I got it cleaned and rearranged, and now, of course, you still can't walk in there, but it looks... It's clean, but that's how many plants. They filled the patio for 4 days.
Well, you got to have them, right? So you can learn how to grow them. Of course, you have fun with them as well. So, again, the name of the plant, the book is Houseplant Party. Lisa Steinkopf, always a great time talking to you. Oh, I had one last question.
Sure.
We got about 2 minutes to go. I always have folks asking me who have Henrys in their house. You know, are you concerned about them chewing on the houseplant? We've had cats and dogs all through. We've had houseplants. I never concerned myself with that, but
I didn't before this Henry. I've had cats forever.
Yeah.
I've never had I do have a problem. They do. They really like the grassy ones. So I have to keep my ponytail palm, which mm-hmm. I've had since 1984, up away from him. He kind of looks at me when he gets near it.
Yeah.
Because when I rearrange the greenhouse, now he can get to it. And he looks at me, and then he just kind of reaches little, you know, out there and starts chewing on it. But as a rule, you know, like I have philodendrons and things like that. He doesn't. I think they know.
Right.
Now dogs, I think, are way different. I think I have a new grandpuppy, and I think if I let him in here, she would eat everything in sight, and it wouldn't matter to her. But cats are a little more discerning, I think.
A new grandpuppy.
I do. I have a grandpuppy.
I love it. Hey, always a pleasure. I appreciate you getting up this morning and talking to us. Again, this book is great. The projects are outstanding. It's called Houseplant Party, Fun Projects and Growing Tips for Epic Indoor Plants. Lisa Steinkopf, the houseplant guru, at her website, thehouseplantguru.com. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for talking to us this morning. Great book.
Thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
All right, take care. Again, Houseplant Party, Lisa Steinkopf. Really is a cool book, and that all the projects that are in here are things that you can do and have fun doing them at home, including propagating and all kinds of great things. Window boxes is pretty cool. Anyway, that's why we talk about it. Quick break. We come back. We'll jump back into the gardening phone lines at 800-823-8255. Talking about gardening on this Saturday before Thanksgiving. And phone lines are open for you again at 800-823-8255. It's all happening here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Ron can help at 1-800-823-TALK. This is In the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Our toll-free number, same as it is every Saturday morning, it's 800-823-8255. Good morning, I am Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy, talking about yarding on this Saturday before Thanksgiving. Now, you know, next Saturday, if you've listened to our show over the years, usually the Thanksgiving set, the one after Thanksgiving, we usually have our special with Rita and Joe and the Arbroath. We have all kinds of people that come to the studios.
Buggy Joe.
We have all
me.
Dan. Well, you're always here. You're part of it anyway. But come to the studios, and then, of course, we have a lot of fun, and we eat and talk about things, and not necessarily plants or whatever. That always kind of shows up in the conversation, but always have a good time. We've done that for many, many, many years, and unfortunately, next Saturday, we're not going to be able to do that because folks can't come to the studios with the COVID-19 and all. So we'll be talking to Buggy Joe and Rita via the telephone. So we will spend some time with them. We'll spend time with all of our regulars here. So we'll do that, but it won't be quite the same. But anyway, we'll have fun. Danny and I will be here, and we'll be sharing some snacks and things like that. So we'll have a good time with it. And, of course, I hope you join us as well. Again, that's next Saturday, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. But in the meantime, you're joining us now. And if you'd like to talk to us, 800-823-8255, gardening question or tip you'd like to share. I always love hearing from folks that have tips to share. It's always good hearing from other folks and what they do as well in their garden. By the way, I do want to remind you, again, our book today, and this would be a really good one for a Christmas present. It's A Houseplant Party by Lisa Steinkopf, Fun Projects and Growing Tips for Epic Indoor Plants. It's really cool, and there are some really great tips in here for you. And then, of course, projects. And she also mentions plants that are really cool, unusual plants that are somewhat easy to grow in the house. So it's just a really nice reference book, and you'll have fun with it as well. But again, it's called Houseplant Party, Lisa Steinkopf. We've had her on before, and I think she has two other books that we've talked about as well. And she does the gardening, the houseplant part of the gardening app for Dr. Alan Armitage. Her website, again, is thehouseplantguru.com. So be sure and check that out as well. And, of course, houseplants just off the charts. Hey, before we go back to the gardening phone lines at 800-823-8255, I do want to put my little pitch in today, and I'll do it again next Saturday and the following Saturday to try to encourage you, if you're still on the fence and haven't decided what to do for that Christmas tree this year, that you make the traditional choice, the traditional holiday choice, the most ecologically sound choice, and that would be, of course, a live Christmas tree, whether it be bald and burlapped or cut. That's the best choice. And, you know, Dr. Z joked about the needles and all. You know what? That happens sometimes, but you know, the vacuum cleaners are pretty good. And I would have to think that Dr. Z just didn't do a very good job vacuuming. When you say so, Dan, probably kind of left those in there.
Yeah,
so.
Just left those out.
Yeah, he just left them out. So, you know,
well, he's young. He's not going to do that good.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's all part of the tradition, right? But typically if you do the right things, you don't have a lot of needles to take care of once you take the tree out. And, of course, tree bags, Christmas tree bags can really help you out. You leave them around the bottom. You pull it up around it when you're ready to go. Carry it outside. You know, you got a few to get up, and then that's it. But I'm telling you, if you're on the fence about it, you know, do the live cut Christmas tree. Do the live or the live tree if you want to plant it outside. The issue with the live one with the bald and burlap on the bottom is the fact that it's hard to get a bigger tree in the house. You don't want to keep it in very long, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, but 10 days max or so, 3 days in the garage, 10 days, or three, yeah, 3 days in the garage, 10 days in the house, 3 days in the garage, plant it. That's the process. And it's usually a smaller tree, but, you know, it can be done. Folks are still doing that. It's a nice tradition. Can you plant the tree and have it grow for years and years and say that was our Christmas tree in 2020, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't want to go that way, go the live cut tree. And you know, one of the stories that always seems to come up, it has for the last 2 or 3 years, is that there's a Christmas tree shortage. And that all stems from about back in the recession. At that time, there was a glutton of trees, cut trees, being grown that were on the market at that time. And recession and all. And so a lot of growers cut back that year or the following year on the numbers that they replanted for future Christmas trees because who knew what the future was going to bring. And they have to project out 7, 10, 12 years in the future what it's going to be like as they're growing these trees for cut Christmas trees. And so at that time, there were fewer numbers replanted the next year or two. And so that did reduce the numbers, but can they see the trends going back up, so they start replanting more. And so that's where it said, you know, we're going to have a shortage. So there were fewer trees expected to be on the market. But I think as you look around, as the folks from the National Christmas Tree Association will tell you, there's never been a real shortage of cut trees out there on the market. Nobody's ever gone without a tree because we ran out of trees. Now, your local garden center or stand or wherever they sell cut Christmas trees may sell out. That's because they order a certain amount of trees, and that's what they order, and that's what they sell. That could be the case, but for most, you know, it's like pumpkins and things like that. If one state has a bad season for pumpkins, they ship them in from another state. And I think every state grows Christmas trees of some type, so they can ship in when somebody else has a problem. And we've had drought, and that's been an issue this year. We've had drought causing some problems. We've had diseases. We've had fires, things like that. But for the most part, we've always had good cut Christmas trees available for anybody that wants a good cut Christmas tree. And they're still out there, not an issue. Now, what I think the big question to watch is, it has been a crazy year this year with the COVID-19 and everybody, a lot of folks staying home and doing a lot more gardening than ever. The things that sold out early because everybody was doing it. Everybody jumped on it. So I guess the thing right now is, will that be the same way with live Christmas trees? You know, where a lot of folks being home say, let's do a live tree that may have done an artificial tree in the past, decide to go the live tree. And will we have a run on them? That'll be interesting to see. And I'm sure they'll sell early. So, when your local source gets them in, I would probably get there and get your tree scarfed up. But there's no actual shortage out there in the United States. But, you know, it depends on how many your lot sells and how many they ordered and how, you know, does it change a little bit for this season. I'll be curious to see what happens. But I think the three big things to make you successful, one is with that live tree, make sure it's a fresh tree. So, you know your source. Two, make sure you put a fresh cut on the bottom of that tree before you put it in the stand. And number three is fresh water in the stand. Those are your three keys. Bottom line. If you do those three things, you should be in pretty good shape. Now, obviously, you keep it out of the sunny window and things like that and away from drafts, and they won't dry out quite as quickly. But those are the three big keys. Fresh tree, fresh cut, fresh water. Done deal. And it works. And it's pretty simple. But I'd like to, again, put my pitch out there for doing the live tree. I think it's the best choice for our environment, the whole nine yards. I can argue that with you all day long if you want to. You know, I hate to cut down the trees, blah, blah, blah. They're grown as a crop. Look what they do for us as they're growing. They're replanted every year, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, make that choice this year. If you're on the fence, go for the live cut tree.
And it makes it smell good inside the house, too.
It smells terrific. All right. Gary in Ohio, good morning.
Yes, Ron, pleasure to talk again.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, I'd like to simply say a Thanksgiving dinner back in, say, year 60, Grandpa takes a survey. How you like the meal? Well, the meal's great. The beef's great. No, wait a minute. It was bear roast.
Bear roast. Bear roast?
Yes, and don't ever turn down bear roast. It's delicious.
Really?
You bet, Ron. Never turn it down. Number two, going to make your day, Ron.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Back up for a second. Bear roast. Did you grow up where there were bears that you were hunting?
Well, in your home state of Indiana, maybe there, Ron.
Yep.
Northern Indiana, up. The bear come out of Michigan.
Right.
Some hunter, you know, and then, of course, it ended up on Grandpa's table, some of the roast.
Right.
But it was, we could not tell any difference in beef or the bear roast.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at some 50-foot spruce trees, across the way here, and I understand the family planted their Christmas trees years ago, and so I'm looking at them, and nice and healthy and all. I did see said trees release pollen, and the pollen was so thick, I thought there was a construction going on down the way there. And it was the pollen. There was no construction, simply just a ton of pollen. Pollen being released.
Yeah, you know what? I think a lot of folks don't. When you think about evergreens, you don't think about them flowering.
Okay.
And obviously, they have to flower to set cones.
Yeah.
And so you've got a lot, and they do. They have a lot of pollen. And so if you get a spruce or pine that has quite a few flowers on it, it's amazing the amount of pollen that will come off of those. So, you know, they do flower, and I think we have a tendency to forget about that sometimes.
Yeah, like I say, I looked and I saw this brown, look like brown dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm going to check this construction out, you know, see what's happening.
Sure.
There was no construction. It was the pollen. And, of course, the conversation I had locally with another fellow, we substantiated this was released pollen.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, well, Ron, let me turn you loose. Thanks for listening. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Good talking to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and hope you bear roast. What do you think, Dan? It's worth. He's waving his hand. You give it a try, though. No. No, don't want any bear. I'd give it a try. I would. Anyway. All right, quick break. We come back. Phone lines are open for you. It's 800-823-8255 here in the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number, 800-823-8255. Starting to have a few catalogs trickle in. I don't know about you, but one that I have a tendency to forget about sometimes, just down and dirty, tomatoes, peppers, some other vegetables, and lots of things that you would use for growing tomatoes and peppers. It's called Tomato Growers Supply Company. Their website is tomatogrowers.com. Be sure and check that out. Of course, Johnny Seeds, Burpee Seeds, Baker Creek, Dixon Dale Farms for onions. Great catalog. Always great information. Tell you all about it. Tell you about the ones that grow best in your area. And one thing that's interesting, this last catalog I got, really promoting container gardening for onions. And we're talking about bigger onions that you grow all summer. Harvest in late summer and then in the summer and then store them over. The bigger bulbed onions. Grown in containers, and the easy way to do that, and in raised beds as well. But, again, it's a great catalog. It's called Dixon Dale Farms out of Texas. We've had the folks on with us talking about the onions, and it was a fun conversation. But, anyway, start getting those catalogs and start checking things out. Speaking of tomatoes, I want to make sure I thank Terry Diefenbacher, TD, the TD of Tomatoes, for sharing one of his last Kellogg's Breakfast Tomatoes with me about 3 weeks ago. I'm telling you, folks, it was absolutely outstanding. It was about 8 inches in diameter. It was thick. I sliced it up. We made BLTs. My mouth is watering right now. I had to stop from eating the whole thing before I even got it on my sandwich. I just wanted to eat it. But anyway, it's great. So be sure and check it out for next year. And if you don't got a local independent garden center putting together their tomato plant, what they're going to grow or bring in for next year, make sure you suggest Kellogg's Breakfast. And if they don't want that one, a man of orange is pretty darn close. Phyllis in Cincinnati, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
Love your show. When you learn how to grow energy plant that I can eat, that would be wonderful.
We'll work on that one.
Just teasing. My question is, I have two big pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
So I do get a ton of the about 4-inch pine needles.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use those for mulch just around annuals, regular shrubs and things without mulching them up or, you know, making them finer?
Yep, I would. You know, you can use them underneath the evergreen trees, so they have their own mulch there. And then to use them around landscape plants and around other trees, it's great. I mean, think about it. We sell pine needle mulch at the garden centers. Now, it's probably different than what you have falling down. Yours are probably white pine, I would guess.
Well, when they do fall, then they're brown, and they're probably about a good 4 inches long.
And real thin.
Yes,
yeah,
very thin.
Yeah, white pine needles. And those work well. Now, we sell pine needle mulch, but it's usually from, I think it's loblolly pine and some of the others that are a little bit thicker and a little more hollow. But, you know, that's a main mulch source in southern states and becoming more popular in northern states all the time. So answer to your question is yes, you can use that as a mulch. I don't like to use it around annuals, but I'll use it around perennials, landscape plants, trees, and shrubs. And if you put them in a compost pile, of course, you do want to grind them up so they break down faster. But absolutely, feel free to use those, you know, an inch deep or so. Works nicely. And use them under the pines that they drop from as well.
Oh, yeah, they're there.
Yeah.
You know, too, my brother had done, and I guess I could do that with this. He had put it in like a metal garbage can and took his weed whacker.
Oh, yeah.
Trimmer and mulched it up. Would that be better to make it finer?
Well, if you're going to compost it. Now, if you're going to use it around plants, you know, I just go ahead and use them as they are.
Okay.
You're fine. That's good to go. If you want to chop them up, you can. That's fine, too. But you don't have to go through that if you're going to use them as a mulch. I would only go through that if I'm going to use them in the compost pile.
Oh, okay.
To break down faster. Otherwise, I'd leave them like they are.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep listening. So when somebody invents that energy
plant?
Yes.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Phyllis. Always a pleasure talking to you. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And that's been around for a long time. To understand what she's talking about, you can take leaves or whatever, put them in a trash can, take your string trimmer and use it as a blender, go up and down and chop those up if that's what you want to do, rather than using your mower as your chopping device. But you can do that. Make sure you cover yourself up, your eyes and your face, because there's a lot of things flying at the time when you do that. But that can be done. If you like a lot of excitement, it's pretty interesting. But, yes, you can do that. But protect yourself, please. All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll jump right back into the gardening phone lines at 800-823-8255. Don't forget our website, ronwilsononline.com. Read his recipe, including mine with White Castle stuffing. Mm-mm-mm. It's all happening here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
For the do-it-yourself gardener at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Again, our toll-free number 800-823-8255 on the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Don't forget our website. It's ronwilsononline.com. We've got Rita's broccoli casserole recipe up there for you. We've got our plant of the week, which is rosemary. You see it a lot being sold in a lot of places that sell plants this time of the year. As a holiday plant, decorated like a little Christmas tree. And, of course, how to get that thing to overwinter. Well, we've got some tips on our website for you as well. Again, at ronwilsononline.com. And, of course, White Castle stuffing, one of my favorites for Thanksgiving. You can use Crystal Burgers, too. Just get the mustard off of there. But be sure and check that out. Street trees, some of the maples that are suggested for street trees. And then you keep scrolling back and seeing things from the past as well. So be sure and check it out. Again, it's ronwilsononline.com. Back to the gardening phone lines we go. Joe in Cincinnati, good morning.
Hi, how are you, Ron?
Joe, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am wonderful, enjoying the rain we're getting right now.
Yeah, we needed that.
We do. I have two questions. One's about tomatoes. I enjoy growing some tomatoes and having homegrown ones to eat. In our area of Cincinnati, they're annuals. But in the past, I've had some that have regrown in the spring. Can you tell me how that works and if I can promote that?
If you have some tomatoes that actually drop from the plant and the seeds hit the ground, if the critters don't eat them and they overwinter, they'll pop back up as volunteers. The issue is, the reason you don't get a whole bunch of them is typically they'll either decay over the wintertime, or, like I say, critters, meaning even earthworms, will come through and eat those and devour them. But every now and then you'll get one or two or three or four that make it through the winter and actually come right back up again. Cherry tomatoes are probably the best or the worst for doing that, because if you have a cherry tomato plant and you drop a couple cherry tomatoes and those seeds are – the cherry was ripe and the seeds were good – a lot of times they will pop back up again. The issue you get into with tomatoes and volunteers is that unless it's an heirloom selection that dropped the tomato, you never know exactly what you're going to get. Because if it's a hybrid, hybrid tomatoes have parents from different types of tomatoes. They put them together, and that seed is that particular hybrid for those two parents together. But the seeds from that plant may have both parents in it, so you could get one or the other type of tomato. So you never know exactly what you're going to get, but that's how that happens.
I have one heirloom tomato plant that's still in the ground and has tomatoes on it, but mm-hmm. the animals have gotten to them, so I haven't harvested them. Can I take the seeds out of those?
Yeah,
plant them inside, or
no? What
in
I do
pot for the winter?
No, what I would, well, you could, yes, but what I would do with those is to save those seeds now, is to go and collect those, and hopefully they haven't been frozen. And I don't, you know, we've had a couple pretty cold nights, but I think you're probably still good. Collect up what tomatoes are left that you can get the seeds out, and take those, scoop them out with a spoon or whatever, and spread them out on a paper towel, and do them, you know, single layer on a paper towel, and let them dry. Because a lot of times they've got that goop around the outside, and that goop that's in there, that gel, actually keeps them from germinating. That's what that's all about. But
okay,
spread it out on there and let them dry, and they'll stick to it like they're taped to it. You can just take that and fold that up after they're totally dry, put it in an envelope, and store it away in a dark, cool area. Some folks will put them in a refrigerator. I typically don't, because sometimes a refrigerator can be too cold. But just store those tomato seeds away. In the springtime, you bring those back out, and then you can either flick them off of that paper towel or just tear them off, paper towel and all,
mm-hmm.
plant those and start your own plants at that time indoors that you can eventually transplant outdoors. And about the best time to do that's typically about late March, somewhere around there. So you've got about 6 to 8 weeks before it's time to plant. And that would put you in the middle to the latter part of May.
I appreciate that. My other question is about trees. We moved into a property that has two large trees in the backyard. One's a maple and the other one is a buckeye.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I love trees and I don't want to cut off things that don't need to be, but I don't know enough about them to say, okay, this needs to be cut, that doesn't. I think several homeowners and people just, the tree's there and they ignore it. So I had three different people come out and look at these two trees. And the first one said there were three suckers on the maple that needed to come off, and he wanted to lower the top of the buckeye tree and then thin them both out. And the other two guys just didn't, I didn't tell them what the first one said. And the second guy just said, oh, they just need to be thinned out, right? The canopy needed to be thinned to let more air and light in.
Mm-hmm.
And the third guy said, well, he wasn't sure. So they all say they're arborists, but I don't know if they are or not. And so I'm not sure where to go from here.
Well, they, you know, are they certified arborists? They should be able to show you their certification. So you can always ask for that, and they should have somebody to show you that they are certified. You can even Google. I think it's the Trees Are Good website. There's a place on there, I believe, that's for you can go to look for ISA certified arborists, and they'll tell you the ones that are in your area. And I think the other thing you get into, and we have Ron Rothis, one of our certified arborists for our area, on our show on a regular basis. And even Ron will tell you sometimes you can line up three or four arborists in a row, and they may probably give you all different opinion. You line up 10 turf people in a row, they'll all give you a different opinion about the turf. Somewhat
right.
close, but, you know, and all of their opinions may be okay and would all work. So, you know, I guess the third option would be, you know, what were you trying to do with the trees? I mean, were you asking them to, were you looking to thin them out, or just what maintenance needed to be done to them?
They both seem healthy. I just wanted to make sure, number one, none of the branches fall off under the house, under
Got
the
it.
Building.
Got it.
And also, there's not the ground underneath them. I can't get grass to grow because there doesn't get enough light. And
right.
and one of them said, well, it'll help if you thin them out and prune them, and also it'll let more light down to the ground. So that the tree won't be like a sail when it gets windy and just fall over. And the first two said they would use lifts, right, which would be more expensive for me and them. But the third guy said, no, he would just have someone climb up into the tree.
And I guess the climbing into the tree just depends on the size of the tree. A lot more of them are using buckets anymore, where that way they don't even have to, you know, get into the tree at all.
Yeah.
And just get themselves inside. I think the thing about thinning out a tree, and again, this is my opinion, you know, for getting grass to grow underneath the tree, I mean, horticulturally speaking, you're better off not having grass growing underneath the tree and have it mulched or have ground cover or whatever. So if that's the case, I wouldn't be worrying about thinning out the tree to get grass to grow. I would be working to work with a shadier area. It's more healthier for the tree. Can they thin them out so that more air comes through and more sunlight? Absolutely. And that can be done without ruining the structure of the tree. They go in and take out individual pieces. Don't reduce the size by much, but by taking out individual pieces, sometimes they can reduce the head a little bit to let more sun come in and more air circulation. Over time, obviously, it will fill back in. It may have to be done again, but that can be done, no doubt. But unless it's structurally unsound or for the health of the tree, I don't know why they would want to thin it out.
Okay.
What you could do is, if you like, once and I'm assuming the leaves are all done, take two shots of the trees overall, email them to me, and let me just take a look, and based on what you told me, I'll tell you why the three of them told you what they told you and give you my opinion, and now you have four.
I certainly appreciate that. One last thing is, you're talking about the live trees, cut tree, Christmas
yes.
trees versus artificial.
Yes.
You haven't mentioned what to do with the cut tree after the holidays. And I think too many people want to end up where they're going to end up in the landfill. So
yep.
you might want to talk about that. Thank you very much for your help, and enjoy your weekend, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Good hearing from you. And you're right. And we'll talk more about what to do with those trees afterwards, because there's a lot of things you can do besides sending them back to the landfill, and we'll talk more about that as we go in. Probably not today, but we will next Saturday. Because coming up next, a little home improvement from the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Gary Sullivan, here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Time for a little home improvement from the man, the myth, the legend. He is the most listened to home improvement show host in the entire solar system. Ladies and gentlemen, his website, GarySullivanOnline.com. His name happens to be Mr. Gary Sullivan.
Hold on. Let me get my tool belt on. All right. Boy, I'm bending over is hard anymore.
I beg your pardon.
I had to pick up my tool belt.
Oh, I see.
My belt on. I'm sorry.
You know, I'm out looking at toolboxes right now. Boy, there's a lot of different kinds of toolboxes out there.
Mm-hmm. What kind are you going to get?
I don't know. It's what I've been looking at.
Know.
Well, you know, they've got the ones now where you've got like the luggage rack thing where you pull up the little handle and you can stack mm-hmm. them up on top of each other. And
ooh.
If you're really
are you
serious,
going into the home repair business, Ron?
No, but I have so many tools that are kind of scattered out. here and there, two or three boxes.
You're really getting organized in the last 3 months.
I'm trying.
I'm stunned by your fascination in home improvement,
stick-to-itiveness,
your accomplishments, and now your organizational skills.
I'm trying the best that I can.
I think you're doing a fine job.
Thank you so much. Might I ask, did the Sullivans make a decision yet on that artificial or live tree this year?
You know what? That's what I was going to talk to you about.
Oh.
So I don't know if we've had a long discussion about it, but I was pondering it during breakfast this morning, quite digging into it, and I have decided, which means
nothing.
What? Thank you very much.
All right.
But I have decided, which means nothing.
Nothing.
That rather than pulling up the eight foot tall artificial tree, because we have, you know, a big ceiling in the family room.
Right.
Or going and trying to wrestle an 8 foot cut tree, which that's kind of, let's just say that ship has sailed.
Well, if you're having a hard time bending over to pick up your tool,
my tool belt. Thank you very much. I have decided, which means nothing, that I think we should go get a cut tree about 5.5-6 feet tall. So we're downsizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's manageable. Since 2020 has been such a glorious year, we should have some celebration.
Yes.
Some falling back to normalcy. So I'm going to propose to the Sullivans.
Yes.
That we get like a 6 foot cut tree and I don't even know if I've got lights anymore.
You have to propose that to the Sullivans or Mrs.?
Well, she counts as 5 votes.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, so that's the Sullivans then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually lose 5-1.
You know what? What's interesting, though, is that in all sincerity, the Wilsons did that about, 3 or 4 years ago. And we're really glad that we did. I mean, we've always had a live tree.
Right.
Never had the artificial. But about 4 or 5 years ago, we said, you know what? Let's just go with a smaller tree and just kind of see what it's like. Because you've always had that 8-footer to the ceiling and all that stuff.
Right.
And so we went with that 3-4-foot tree, and it was small. And we actually we put it up on a small little antique table, and it was pretty nice. I mean, we enjoyed it, and it looked good, and we picked out the few ornaments that we really wanted to show.
Right. That's another thing. You know, we have
thousands of ornaments.
Yeah. We've given a lot of the kids their ornaments now to put on their tree.
Right.
So we've scaled down the ornaments. It's just, and I think the gatherings are going to be scaled down a little bit. And it doesn't need to be opulent. It just needs to be traditional. So
I love it.
My proposal is 5 foot, 6 foot, no bigger than 6 foot tree. Scale down the ornaments and enjoy a real Christmas tree this
year. Now, will you be multi-lights or all white?
Boy, Ron, I just haven't got that far. I'll tell you what I will be. I will be whatever is in the basement.
Whatever happens to be in that crate that I pick up.
Yes, and I'm assuming they're still there, and I know they are. But I think they're actually – I don't even know if there's LED lights down there. I don't know. I got to dig into that, but I'm proposing the 5-6 foot cut tree this year.
Excellent.
Just to fall back on tradition. And we don't need an 8-foot tree, and I think it needs to be a little more special than just dragging up the artificial this year.
I'm going to guess that's going to be a Fraser.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. It won't be the Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Might I also then assume, as you're downsizing the inside tree, that you won't be putting up Christmas lights outdoors?
I am.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Just things that are waist high and lower.
Well, yeah, I don't climb up on a roof and gutters, but
right.
You can make a nice display. You know, the big proliferation of lights in our neighborhood is these companies that put up lights, and they do, you know, the peaks of the roofs and the gutters, and like, I don't want to do that.
No.
I don't want to do that.
It's nice to see somebody else that does it.
Our house isn't that perfect, you know. I mean, I like the bushes and the smoke bush, and you know.
And the rabbits are looking forward to your Christmas lights.
Well, we keep them off the ground now, Ron.
Oh, okay.
We've learned that lesson. Those little boogers. I still remember coming in that studio that day and saying, "Why would somebody cut my wire of my Christmas lights? It was a perfect cut with a diagonal plier." And a caller called and said, "You got rabbits?" "Yeah, that's why." "What?" So we keep them off the ground.
But now, didn't you find out that some of what had like?
It's got soy in it.
Soy oil. Yeah.
Apparently,
but they still like chewing on that because they like chewing on our irrigation tubes at the nursery, and that has nothing in it besides plastic.
Yeah. So there might be a little soil in there.
There could be. You're right. There could be. But they love chopping those off.
They're probably sharpening their teeth.
They are.
And you know about my rabbit issues.
I do. I know. Has the Godfather been back? Not since the shoe episode.
No, I have not seen him. I think he's got post-traumatic stress syndrome from when the shoes were flying at him a couple summers ago.
She made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
It's like, what are you
doing? A shoe upside the head.
What are you doing? I'm throwing shoes at the rabbit. Danny's always on the stick.
Oh, he is, isn't he?
Gotta love that.
Kind of crazy.
He did just look at us like,
kind of crazy.
You are?
He's kind of crazy.
You talking to me?
Yeah. By the way, are you going to have bear roast for Thanksgiving?
A bear roast?
That's what one of our callers said today, that his grandfather used to have bear roast. They could have bear roast for Thanksgiving.
I love to eat weird stuff.
Yeah.
And I've never had bear.
I haven't had bear. Dan said he would not try it.
I've had lion. I've had elk.
Ooh, lion.
Rabbit, pheasants, deer. I don't know, probably a few more, but I've never had bear.
Hmm.
First thing you'd have to do is find a bear. Second, you have to kill the bear. Then you have to butcher the
bear. It was northern Indiana. It was some of the Michigan bears that kind of traipsed into Indiana, so they would shoot one.
That was his mistake. He crossed state lines.
Shouldn't have come into Indiana.
Yeah, I don't even know if you can hunt bear. Anyway, no, I'm not going to have bear.
Well, that was back in Grandpa's day.
I'll probably have turkey.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, it's another kind of wild animal.
And will you do the turkey?
You know, that's still up in the air. We actually were going to have like 20 people at our house, kids, grandkids, and everything, and we've decided to save ourselves for Christmas and have a staggered Christmas.
So lots of Sullivans? Not that kind of staggered.
Nah. That was good, Ron.
Thank you very much.
That was very good.
Lots of Sullies
out
there.
Christmas Eve, we have Christmas afternoon.
Oh, yeah. For the old granddad.
We'll probably head down to Charlotte and visit my daughter.
Maybe some old granddad for the old granddad.
Maybe. But Thanksgiving's not going to be a very exciting time in a Sullivan house. Hence, we'll be decorating our tree.
Oh, well, we may be
doing. How
about
you?
I think we may be doing the same at the Wilson house.
Yeah. Right? I don't know. It's crazy times.
It is.
I'm not allowed to say unprecedented. My wife gets mad, so I now call it just crazy times.
But it's.
Do you live under these restrictions also?
Yes.
Is there more restrictions since the pandemic?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, actually, we've had some pretty good
times.
It's
kind of fun, yeah.
We really have, so.
Got to play for the positive, Ronda boy. Hey, you have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy
right?
Thanksgiving to you and the Sullivan right. family, and we will talk to you sometime in the future.
Sounds great, Ron.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks to all of our callers today. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks, of course, to Lisa Steinkoff. And don't forget to check out her new book, House Plant Party. It's an excellent one. Excellent one with lots of projects as well. And, of course, to Danny Gleason, our producer, because without Danny Gleason, the Durango Kid, none of this stuff would happen, literally. Now, do yourself a favor. Still plenty of time to plant those trees and shrubs, pollinator plants and native plants. And, of course, next week is Thanksgiving, so I don't know sure what you're going to be able to do or what we're going to be able to do with the family or whatever, but be safe, be smart, but make it the best Thanksgiving that you can of your life. See ya.
Gardening questions? Ron has the answers at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.